Okay, that is entertainment, and we have in studio with us Michael Leddy. Good morning to you, Michael. Thank you so much for joining us, and a very happy new year to you.
Happy new year to you.
How are you keeping?
Well. I'm keeping very well, Greg.
Very good.
It's good to
okay.
Be back.
Katie.
Hello there.
Happy new year.
Happy new year.
How are you feeling?
Oh, fabulous.
I like this. Katie's top picks, 5th of the 1st, 2024.
I know, yeah.
You're trying to create your own feature here.
Branding. Well, it's all about branding.
I know. If you don't do it yourself, who's going to do it for you?
Yeah, that's a blog waiting to happen.
I know, absolutely. Yeah. I'm going to take over from Michael now.
Oh, go for it.
Yeah.
I'm so 2023. It's all you, 2024. Go for it.
I know.
Yesterday's news.
Do we still do New Year's resolutions? I think it's pittered out now because, you know, you got to the stage now where it's kind of an obvious question and then people go, nah, not really. I'm just going to... And I think we're a year or two away from people never even asking that question anymore. What do you think?
I agree with you. Yeah, it's not something that I'm aware of. I've had no conversations that I haven't seen.
Is it on your radar or in your wheelhouse?
It's not on my radar,
no. Why are you laughing?
No, because that's... I was branding that phrase, so that's my branding on the radar. No, I agree with you. Yeah, I don't think people really chat about it anymore. I think we've all reached a level... of perfection, Greg.
Yeah, that must be it, actually. Yeah. I never thought of it like that, but, you know...
I mean, we were making resolutions. We were doing it in 1998, 2003, 2007.
And eventually you just perfection.
And I think it all accumulated, and now we've reached that stage. Where can we go?
Yeah,
well, we can't go up.
Anyone who used to play the old FIFA games or what have you, and the new ones, when they got really, really good, and they had to re-release them every year, you know, because to keep the money in, they made them crap for a year. And then they'd make them good again over the coming years. That was my theory anyway. I'm not saying it's true. So we should maybe just make ourselves crap for 2024 and then we can make new resolutions for 2025.
That's what it is.
Do you have any, Kato?
I think to think of something as a resolution is to set yourself up for failure. Because it is.
That's deep.
You don't think, because it's pressure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Automatic pressure. It's, oh, look, I'm getting given it.
Because you're politely turning to Michael, but you're also turning away from the microphone.
Oh, sorry.
To the tens of thousands of listeners just hearing you talking to Michael.
Yes, but again, it's all about priorities. I mean, at least I can hear you clearly. So,
I agree with you. And funny you should say that because that's the thing that annoys me about buying a box of Pringles or a Mars bar, you know, where you could instantly win something. You know, I just want a Pringle. I don't want to be a loser. Do you know what I mean? So I just don't think that's a really good marketing tactic.
Fair enough.
So, you know, I have my Mars bar. I just wanted a Mars bar. I don't eat them, but I just wanted a Mars bar. And now all of a sudden, sorry, better luck next time.
Yeah.
Is that what New Year's resolutions are like?
Yeah,
I know it's not a fantastic metaphor.
You know.
No, it's a good one, yeah, and I agree with what I say. So if somebody says, I'm going to start the new year and I'm going to get more fit and I'm going to lose weight, and then after a couple of months they're like, oh, none of those things have happened, I'm so pathetic.
Yeah.
They're sort of setting themselves up for a fall, you know.
Yeah. Is that what you meant?
Kind of, yeah, because people do look at you and you say, oh, I'm going to, no, listen, I'm going to be 3 stone lighter now by the end of the month. And people look at you and go, no, you're not.
Is that realistic? Yeah, we can all do that in a month. Yeah.
You're not, though, or that won't last. And you're like, stop.
I think really what we need to focus on are our intentions, because our intentions are sound.
Mm.
Yeah.
And it is the turning of a calendar page, okay? Mm. And we might go, right, okay, maybe this is the start point to do something. But I think it's applying our intentions.
Yeah.
So I don't think we don't need to talk about it publicly or announcing it. You know, if you're ever giving up something, I don't think it's good to tell other people. Just do it on the QT.
That's true.
But it's really putting our intentions into practice.
Yeah, that's it.
That's I struggle with.
Dermot always says to me, don't tell people what you're going to do, show them. And I just think that's
very good.
Isn't it?
Yes,
isn't it?
Actions speak louder than words.
Know,
it's true. Yeah,
it's
right.
It's nice to share an L quote every now and again, but there's a nice one.
Anyone but you.
Saying
that's in the cinema.
That's a cinema.
I thought that was a new thing on Netflix.
Did you?
No, that's Fool Me Once.
Yeah,
that's what it is. Yeah, this is a rom com.
Is it?
Yes. And I was delighted when I heard those, because I don't know when I last. We were saying this a couple of friends and I as well over Christmas. We were chatting earlier too. Like, when was the last? Like, I remember the proposal with Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds all those years ago. Rom coms are sort of falling out of vogue. And that was one of the things that attracted me to this movie, as well as the guy who directed it, directed some episodes of my favourite comedy series years ago. A couple of my favourite series, Andy Richter, Controls the Universe, and Gross Point. So here you have a very old-fashioned romantic comedy, which is quite silly in its setup. You have a man and a woman, and they meet, and they have a sort of a magical evening together. Nothing too serious happens, but they obviously click. And then there is a misunderstanding and they go their separate ways. But as fate would have it, they get thrust back together again when a wedding is happening, and it turns out that they are connected to people on either side. So they don't like each other, but of course we know that they really do like each other. It's all a misunderstanding. But at this particular wedding, his ex, who broke his heart, is there with her new boyfriend, and her ex that her parents very much want her to get back together with is at the wedding as well. So they're under pressure, and they of course concoct, because as even the promotional says, like any mature adults would, they decide that the best way to deflect all this unwanted attention is to pretend they're a couple, even though they don't really like each other. And that's your setup. It's a wedding. It's in Australia. You've got a sort of an all-star cast, different people that you will recognise, like Brian Brown's there, and Richard Griffith from 6 Feet Under. Loads of people you'll recognise. But the core of it is these two people and their romantic tension, as the fact that they're pretending that they're a couple. Secretly, they're bickering like crazy because they can't stand each other, but we're waiting for them to get together. It's very silly, but the bottom line for me with any rom-com is it funny? And I thought this was hilarious.
And you know where it's going to.
You know where it's going, and that's part of the beauty of these things. You know, you want them to work out. Sydney Sweeney is the female lead. I would remember her best, or I know her only really from the first season of White Lotus. I didn't watch the second season, but she was in the first season of White Lotus. And I know she's also on that show Euphoria, which is a big acclaimed show at the moment. I haven't seen that. And the guy who's in it, who I didn't recognise, Glenn Powell is his name. He was in the Top Gun movie. He was one of the guys in the Top Gun movie. I would give this a solid 7 or even an 8. Because
I was just playing the trailer out there too.
Yeah.
Everyone's very good looking in it, and they're not afraid to show it off by the looks of things.
Yes, yeah, it's quite they're in Australia. There's a lot of swimming around in beach wear and jumping around in it's nothing too extravagant, yeah, but I mean it's not a kid friendly movie, I don't think it's fair to say.
Yeah.
In terms of occasional nudity and stuff like that. But at the same time it's quite innocent.
Would you watch it with Fionnuala's granny?
Watch it with Fionnuala's granny. I would definitely have to put my hand in front of the screen a couple of times. Okay. There's one scene in particular where he finds a large spider down his...
Saw it.
Yeah, and he has to remove everything because he feels that obviously there could be another... He says, spiders, they travel in pairs. So he strips off and then he's running around in the nip screaming, and it's a very funny scene.
It's slapstick, isn't it?
It's okay. Complete slapstick. I would say, yes, there is some naughty bits, but it's all very innocent.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very innocent.
And
the movie is
quite
sweet.
What? Maybe in this day and age, you know, with everything that's going on, filmmakers might try and avoid that, if you know what I mean, and try and have... Do you know what I mean? Try and make it, you know, the type of film that.
Yep.
So it's just old fashioned.
Old fashioned. This is
bit of slap and tickle.
This is a very old fashioned film. This is the sort of film that could have come out in the 80s.
That's the kind of.
It's the sort of thing that Goldie Hawn and Chevy Chase could have done, it's just that kind of, oh, look, they don't like each other, but they really do, and they're fighting behind. You know, I was laughing. And I thought the two leads had great chemistry, and I was rooting for them to get together, and I'm not giving any surprises.
I think we can work it all out.
But I would recommend it. And there was a good, decent crowd there the night we went to see it, and everybody was laughing.
All right, good stuff. That's what you want. That's what a comedy is all about.
Yeah.
Okay. That is Anyone But You. It's in the cinemas at the moment, and Michael would give it... What did you say you were giving it out of 10?
I'll give it a solid 8, actually, because I was laughing, and I was in the mood for something.
Is there an innocence to it as well?
Oh, yeah, there is. Like, I mean, and I'll tell you something else. It's liberally borrows from a Shakespearean play, and they literate the script unsubtly with loads of Shakespearean quotes. They kind of just say, look, we're totally taking this story, and they don't make any bones about it. And I kind of liked that too.
Okay, well, Kate is going to be back with her first review, Fool Me Once, on Netflix. It's one of those that... I mean, obviously, Netflix have been pushing it, but you know, when it's one of those where people, I've got a couple of people have said to me, Katie, oh, you should watch this. It's actually really quite good. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah. Outside of the marketing, there's a bit of a word of mouth buzz going to it that
Definitely.
You don't get off an awful lot of things. Mm-hmm. So, we'll hear about Fool Me Once and what Katie thinks of it after these. It's That's Entertainment with me, with Michael, with Katie. Katie, Fool Me Once on Netflix. They dropped it, as the kids say. And sometimes quite awkwardly, Michael and Fionnuala say earlier this week. I find it really an awkward saying for it to hear out of a mature person's mouth.
It dropped on Netflix. Yeah, I have to say, you were saying there about the word of mouth, and that's actually why I started watching it, because on Facebook, it's all anywhere is, oh my God, you have to watch this. It's amazing. This is brilliant. And I do like the Harlan Coben drama/thrillers that are released every now and again. I loved Safe, and there was another one which I can't remember the name.
Doesn't matter.
But anyway,
we just brush past those
awkward moments. But I do like it. Joanna Lumley is in it, who's obviously fantastic. Like, she's brilliant in everything
she
does. Love
Joanna Lumley. Always did.
Do you know what I love about her in this is that her character is different. She's got a bit. Now, there's 8 episodes of this, and I'm only 5 episodes in, so I've got another 3 to go.
Have they been dropped?
They have been dropped.
Okay, good.
They're well and truly dropped. So I don't know how it finishes off. There's a lot in the air with this, right? That's one thing I will say about it. I am loving it.
Okay.
But there's a lot going on. So you really have to, it's one you kind of have to sit and watch. You couldn't be kind of tootling around and sweeping
on your
the
phone
floor
and stuff,
or, yeah, that kind of thing. So.
And how's Michelle Keegan
engaging.
In it?
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah. Now,
that's a name I don't know. What do I know her from?
She's from the soaps, isn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, she is. I think she was in Coronation Street, but she's sort of a northern actress. But she's brilliant, I have to say, in this very, very, very good. Now, she plays an army
investigator?
Officer. But anyway, her husband gets killed. So I'm not giving anything away because this is all in the synopsis on Netflix. Mm-hmm. But her husband gets killed when they're out walking in the park and in a random attack.
Oh.
And then she is given this nanny cam by a friend of hers, and she's watching the nanny cam that evening.
This is getting quite detailed.
No, this is what's in the synopsis, I promise you. And she sees...
I don't read synopsis.
Sees her dead husband in the nanny cam.
Yeah, it's in the trailer.
And it
as well.
Starts the whole chain of events.
Oh, okay.
So then there's a whole load of different characters in it. Joanna Lumley plays her mother-in-law. They're a very rich, well-to-do family.
And it's a very straight. There's no comedy here from her. She's playing it.
Oh, she's completely. Yeah, she's completely straight.
And I'm delighted because she's a great dramatic actress. Yeah. Like any of us that would have watched her, The New Avengers or Sapphire and Steel, all the dramas she did in sci-fi and fantasy stuff. She's a fantastic dramatic actress.
Very, very good. And it's all in almost the facial expression. Like her voice is not much different, obviously, dramatically than other productions that she's in, but it's this twinkle, there's something in the facial expression that I find.
I haven't watched it, but I have my suspicions about it. That's all I'm saying. I haven't watched it.
Yeah, listen, there's the only one thing I'll say about it, and I was chatting to Corrine in the kitchen about this morning. There's an awful lot up in the air at the moment after the end
in a good
season.
Way.
I think so,
because the BBC productions or British productions can do, well, overdo I have the been, red herrings.
I have been
saying.
Assured that everything.
Wraps
comes together because there's a lot of storylines sort of going on, which is hence the reason why you kind of have to sit and watch it. But it is extremely enjoyable, very engaging, and I would give it a 9 out of 10.
So wow, far. Okay.
Excellent.
Yeah,
okay. That's
very,
very good. I think that's going to be a lot of people's weekend viewing.
Yeah.
Okay, that's Fool Me Once. Very highly rated from Katie there. Did you watch at all the start, either of you, but particularly Michael, because I've heard him talk about it, for the new series of Fargo?
Not the new one. I am up to date with Fargo. I'm all set to start it either this evening or next.
John Hamm is... I watched the first episode yesterday and...
Thumbs up?
You know the quirkiness in the accents?
Yes.
It kind of just felt really tired to me.
Really?
And here we go again, you know, and sort of the overcomplicated language or sentence structure. I don't know. I'm not even sure I'm going to continue with it.
Wow.
I just felt like we've done this.
The new season, right, is set in more recent times. It's 2019
or
something like that.
Yeah, but still just the way it's shot, the...
Snow everywhere.
But it's not here, or, you know, it's just shot in a particular way in the language, you know, instead of saying yes, someone says a, you know, a prolific two-line sentence or something in the accents.
They have their way. I know.
I don't know.
I'm a huge fan. Did you enjoy season four?
I don't know if it was my mood or I've moved on from it. I would just, if any listeners, I think it's on, well, I know it's on, well, actually, I don't know, I do. It's on Prime. Mm. I'm just wondering if anyone started it. And it's quirky and that's fine and I get that. I just felt like, here we go again, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll see what anyone thinks.
It's interesting because I didn't like the TV series of Fargo and that was massively popular, but I liked the movie.
Yeah. No, I loved this. I loved the first few series of it.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen seasons 1 to 4. I actually finished season 4 just before Christmas, the Chris Rock season.
Yeah.
I only just finished it there.
Maybe you've not seen that one, you know.
The Chris Rock season is very good. 11 episodes is very good. Right. It's set in the 1950s.
Yep. Caller says, Plane on Prime Video with Jared Butler is a good movie.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I've seen it flagged. Prime, interestingly, a lot of people would have that because of they might do some online shopping and they get free postage and stuff, although nothing's free. But I know it's not for Ireland yet, but certainly for our neighbours in Britain, that you're going to start getting ads now through Prime, Prime Video, and you have to pay an additional $2.99 to not see those ads. So is that the future?
I think that is the future, yeah. I mean,
I think they're going to find themselves, people are going to start cancelling a lot of these services, you know.
Look, it is the future. I think
these things, they're not viable.
Like, the landscape is definitely changing. One of the big news items of the last week or so in America was the potential merging of Paramount and the Warner Brothers libraries. There's too many streamers. We've said this on air before. Yeah. You've said it. Too many. They can't all sustain themselves. They're going to start, they're going to start bundling together. Or B, they're going to start charging extra things like you just
said. Yeah, it's explained. Like you, Katie, I mean, you know, talking about Fool Me Once, a series on Netflix with a buzz. Uh-huh. I mean, once you finish watching that, what do you then watch? Do you know what I mean?
Because I have to say,
there is not a huge throughput of quality stuff that we want to...
This is an interesting conversation because actually, like, in terms of quality of streamers, I think Netflix have the edge over the others purely because I don't know whether it's because they've been around for a lot longer, but I don't know whether anyone noticed, even watching other services over Christmas, that there was a lot of breakdown and you couldn't watch it and you couldn't get into it, and you know, it was very slow and it kept buffering and this and that, but you didn't have any of that with Netflix. And I do find that they do seem to, for this type of thing particularly, they seem to be the first to get all of the better TV series and stuff like that. Everything else I find, like Disney Plus and Prime and all of the other ones are great. If you enjoy watching stuff that you've seen before, or you want to go back and watch a comedy series or anything you've seen before,
I think Apple TV might be a bit different than that because they commission a lot of their own stuff. Yeah. But I think you're spot on with what you're saying there.
I think so too, I agree.
We're going to talk about this on Monday. Someone who was directly affected by this, Mr. Bates versus the Post Office. It's run over the past 3 nights, and I'm hopefully going to watch this over the weekend. They were awarded $55 million against the Post Office, but even legal expenses were deducted. The amount left was $12 million. Why didn't the judge award costs against the Post Office? And on it goes. This is contemporary history here, and I think there actually was an announcement in relation to this case over the last couple of days. But there is a show on. It's Mr. Bates versus the Post Office. I think it was on ITV.
Is that Toby Jones? Oh. Yeah.
Is that
It looks very good. Yeah.
I think I know the.
He was in The Long Shadow as well, which was my highlight.
I haven't seen it. If anyone out there has seen it, tell us what you think. Going to be watching that and talking to someone who was affected by that scandal and maybe getting their view on how the whole case was presented on Monday.
Excellent.
Right, okay, so that's that. And also, too, by the way, this is not entertainment related. We were speaking yesterday about asking questions of the Green Party's Eamon Ryan. And I'll be doing that for you on Friday, next Friday, by the way. So he's agreed to an interview, so look forward to that. That's not entertainment related, but just thought I'd give it a flag as we got that update there not too long ago. Right, okay. Reacher on Amazon. This is again.
Second season.
The whole streaming service is the idea is that you can watch it all at once, but they're releasing this
once a week. Yeah. At a time, they dropped the first 3 episodes.
My God, you're so young and hip.
I am. I'm so done with the kids. They dropped.
No, they released the first 3 episodes. Well, that's all they did. You're what age are you? Don't answer that question. They released
12
3 episodes
and a half. They dropped. They released. Yeah, so you're absolutely correct.
I don't want to be passive aggressive here.
They dropped.
But if the cat fits, wear it.
Yeah, the release date for the first 3 episodes.
Not the drop date.
was the 15th of December. So Reacher is one of the best action shows on TV right
love
now.
Love the first series.
Yeah, absolutely love the first series. Nick Santoro is the guy behind this. Nick Santoro was the guy behind, one of the guys behind Prison Break years ago. I loved Prison Break. He was also one of the guys behind a spin-off show called Breakout Kings, which I loved just as much as Prison Break.
Right. And I never gave that a fair run at the time.
That was a great show, yeah. It was about prison breakouts, but it was in that same universe. And yeah. Teabag was in that show, yeah. One of the main, two of the cast from that show are in Reacher Season 2. And I'm delighted to see both of them. Serenda Swan is one of my favourite actresses. First of all, because she's absolutely gorgeous. I'll absolutely say I fancy her totally. She's amazing. Amazing. She was the lead on Coroner, which we've talked about here before, which she's been doing for 4 seasons, Canadian TV drama. And she's actually, I found out today, walked away from that. She will not return for season 5. The show will continue without her. She does not want to continue. But she is now on season 2 of Reacher. And season 2 picks up the story of our wandering hero. Every season of Reacher will be based on a different novel. Every season will tell a completely different story. So this second season dives into his past. And we find that the military unit that he was part of years and years ago, some members of that unit are turning up dead.
Right.
So the remainder of the unit, four of the unit, get together in the first episode and they start investigating an unofficial...
So there's flashbacks in it, presumably?
There's lots of flashbacks.
Or are there 2 actual timelines?
Well, that's a good question. I'm not sure how to answer it. There is flashbacks, yeah, to how the unit came together. Mm. And you get to see those actors... X number of years ago working together in the military. They were like a military police unit, special investigations unit. He was the commander. He was the major in charge. So we see flashbacks, but it's not heavy on flashbacks. It's not like there's a case in the flashbacks. We just get to see them hanging out and bonding. So the main thrust of the story is one of the members of the unit shows up dead, and then by the time you get to the second episode, it's not really a spoiler because they were all released at the same time, a couple of more members of the unit. So basically, the 4 of them are trying to piece it all together. So what does Reacher deliver? Reacher delivers bone-crunching action scenes. It really does. The action scenes are up there with Daredevil, up there with Punisher, up there with Banshee, as some of the best, most violent action scenes you'll see on TV, in my opinion. It also delivers very, very clever detective work. And you'll remember this, Greg, from the first season. Mm-hmm. Reacher himself is a very smart guy. And he really pieces things together really cleverly. Yeah. So the Lee Child's the writer.
And if you like things more loyal to the written work too, he's probably more the Jack Reacher of the author's intent than Tom Cruise might have been.
Yeah.
Although I enjoyed the Tom Cruise films very
this,
much.
Actually. Yeah, Alan Ritchson is 6'3". And I think the character is 6'5". I think so. He's built like a tank. I mean, he's
like an outdoor lavatory.
There you go. Yeah, that's a polite way of saying it. Yeah, and the thing about him as well, which is, I think is one of the things that impressed me most about the first season, he's a very good actor. He's very personable and very likable, and he can carry the lighter scenes. He's not just one of those guys. You know, some of these guys are really good at the action, particularly years ago. You know, a lot of the big action movie stars weren't the best when it came to the comedy or the lighter stuff.
They're often crossover from wrestling or bodybuilding
yes.
or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. No, this guy
they
can act.
Actors first, necessarily.
Yeah, he's an actor. He can act and he carries it. So you get plenty of action. And I find I'm in the early episodes. I think 5 have been released.
Yeah, dropped.
And 3 are soon to be released.
Okay.
So
very
yeah.
Very interesting. This is on your list this week because I actually we're going to start watching it after Film Me Once. It's the next.
Oh, season
list.
2. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Season 1.
Oh, you've
not started watching it at all. So
love
yeah,
to hear.
So.
Well, you're in for a treat.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yep. Okay. Two very good series, but made unbelievable about the tiny female heroine. This is in the new Fargo. Able to fight men twice their size, but I give Fargo 9 out of 10, the other series 8, so they believe that the most recent... But you see, like if you watch, rewatching The Americans at the moment, and there's a few fight scenes where the
yes.
wife is fighting fellas, I think it looks very authentic if you've got the proper training in the...
Yeah!
The woods, you know what I mean? I don't think...
I always go back to Jennifer Garner in Alias. I mean, those fight scenes were fantastic. Yeah. Now, Jennifer Garner is not an imposing figure... Yeah. But yet, you know, you could believe it. Like
Mr. Bates versus the Post Office was absolutely brilliant. Be prepared to be outraged by what you watch. Wonderful. Okay, looking forward to that. I watched all four episodes of Mr. Bates in the Post Office. It's fantastic watching. Myself and hubby watched it. We were truly shocked, and indeed the truth is stranger than fiction. Mm. So heartbreaking to learn over 200 sub-postmasters went to jail for this, and many more lost everything. I hope the show shines a light on the incident and brings some people to justice. Another Mr. Bates versus the Post Office was excellent. A major miscarriage of justice was actually in over four nights, not three. Definitely recommended it. And another Mr. Bates in the Post Office was very unbelievable what they went through. Really enjoyed it. But again, that's, I think, where that phrase, sometimes fact is stranger than fiction. It's very unbelievable, but it is. It all happened. It all happened. A caller says, I never got into The Crown, but now I'm loving it. I'm on season 2, episode 5. Do you think the storyline should change to focus on His Majesty? Have they stopped making that now? Because they're pretty much up to date, aren't they?
I am not a fan and I can't comment.
Kate, what about you?
I think they caught up, didn't they?
I started watching The Crown. I watched the first good few episodes of it, and I don't know why I stopped watching it. Mm. But I don't know whether it got to a point where I wasn't kind of looking forward to kind of sitting down and watching it. Yeah. So my interest waned and I kind of went another direction. But I actually was enjoying it. Like it is good. The earlier episodes are good. I'm not too sure about the later ones.
I spoke to people who've been enjoying the more contemporary side of it because it's like they remember the Diana story, the interview and all that. Well, I think they did the interview with what's his name and that kind of stuff in the most recent series.
Yeah, I think what I liked about the earlier ones is there was an awful lot about Queen Elizabeth that I didn't actually know. Like, you know,
well, it's not a documentary now. I know that.
Yeah, true enough. But there is elements of truth to
but
her.
I think it might be more complicated for them to cover it in real time.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Firstly, stuff hasn't happened yet, but also from getting it past the legal. Hi, yeah. Greg and TV Treats and First for the Year. I'm interested to hear what Michael and Katie have to say about Doctor Who's Christmas special back finally, but it has become too Disney-fied, and I hear another Marvel TV show, Echo, is out next week. Mm. I fear it's diluting the brand, and now Mickey Mouse has left the building. By the way, second last episode of Man Mountain Reacher tonight. And to answer the question, the tree is still up. All right, good man, Kevin. As folklore had it, up till Candlemas, the 2nd of February, as January was a dark month. Well, let's not get carried away with ourselves here. Yeah, Mickey Mouse, the early incarnations of Mickey Mouse have now, the patent on them has expired.
Yes.
And which was really quite interesting is some people knew this was coming, of course, and there is a Mickey Mouse horror film that has been made and released now. And they were only able to
release it. You know this, yeah.
They were only able to release it after the patent.
1st of January,
The protection of it expired, which is quite interesting. They were quick to the game. I don't know how good a film it might be or not. Doctor Who. Did you watch it over
Christmas? Huge thumbs up, yeah. Massive thumbs up. Very, very happy with all the changes. Very excited for the new season, which I think is May. I think we get to see it. But yeah, huge thumbs up for me.
What about the argument that's becoming too Disney-fied? When you pump money into production, though, it's going to start looking glossy.
Yeah, I don't feel that way. I totally understand why you would say that. But no, I think it looks amazing. The budget, like the second of the specials, the spaceship, I mean, it looked amazing. And I mean, I'm delighted to see Doctor Who. I mean, I was there in the 70s. I was watching it when you had wobbly walls.
Do they still go into the phone box and it's like massive?
Yes.
Right. Okay.
That's still very much a part of it. And now it's just beautiful inside. So look, I was quite happy to give those specials 10 out of 10. I had no problems with the big budget. Very happy to see David Tennant return and Catherine Tate return. And very excited to see Shuti Gatwa and see what the new Doctor will bring to the show. I'm just very excited. I've chosen every better.
Katie?
I was never a big fan of Doctor Who, but I kind of get what the listener is saying in terms of when you add a budget to something that it kind of loses its charm.
It loses the wobbly walls of Wentworth. Mm.
And also, you know, like do they start then sort of adding in stuff just for the sake of it, just for the sake of...
Has it gone woke?
You know?
I hate to say yes, but I suppose given the context of what you're asking, then yes, it has. But I think that's just, you know, I don't think that's a bad thing.
Yeah, you're happy enough with that.
I'm happy enough with that.
Back with more from Katie and from Michael after these. Okay, you're welcome back to the programme. What do your children watch when you give them the half an hour of the day to watch TV in your house?
Well, Molly is a big fan of, still, even though she's four, she still likes all the little musicy things like Little Angel and Cocomelon and all them. She's just like
Cocomelon's grown up though. It's like a toddler version of it now. Cocomelon
like,
Lane.
It's like PG.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy.
but no, she just likes to sing.
What about
along.
Blippi?
They both enjoy Blippi.
Do you?
Occasionally. I used to.
Are you guys just making things up now?
No.
Is that a real thing?
Blippi is an educational.
I don't know how educational it is.
Well, he is. He does like goes inside the ambulance and opens up all the compartments of the ambulance.
I don't know.
You haven't seen the best ones.
I've kind of blocked Blippi from good old Fireman Sam. I watch Away at Fireman Sam because it's got like a storyline to it. But I don't know. Listeners' views. Do your young ones
watch
Blippi? Or do you watch Blippi? I don't. I just don't. There's something I don't. Yeah. I can't put my finger on it. It's just I don't really like it.
Yeah, Max is funny. He'll say he'll sit on YouTube and he'll watch like people playing Minecraft, but he has the remote and he kind of thinks he's
it
controlling what's on the
it,
telly
yeah.
and he's like you know thinks this is great. But
oh, it's okay. So
that's all.
What else? Oh, the do you know I watched four times. The cartoon film of The Grinch.
Yes, very good.
And it's still number one. It's still number one on Netflix movies. Mm-hmm. But it's actually quite a good film, actually.
It is good. It is good. I still prefer the Jim Carrey version.
I'm going to disagree with you on that one.
Your opinion.
over the weekend, we watched Spy on Disney Plus.
Yes.
Which is on your list. Actually, it's an oldie, but I think it's kind of a film that maybe people haven't seen.
Worth mentioning because it is
funny.
One of those ones, a kind of a forgotten comedy almost, because it was very popular when it came out. And like that, it's spotted on Disney Plus. And Melissa McCarthy, she's quite typecast. She's kind of the same sort of character mm-hmm. in nearly everything that she's in. She's in This Is 40, Bridesmaids, Gilmore Girls, she started out in.
Mm-hmm.
But she's hilarious. Like, I just think she's very, very funny. Rose Byrne, we were talking about Rose earlier
Love Rose Byrne.
I give it
she's
a year.
Lovely.
Is another very good film of hers, which is also worth a watch. Bad
but
Neighbors,
she's and, also kind of similar in a lot of films. I think.
Well, she is, but she's also a very good drama
of course,
actress
that's
as well.
Why I said
she was
in a lot of
she
films.
She was in Damages, which is a TV series with Glenn Close as
one
well.
One of the best shows,
and
yeah.
Ted Danson, and that also. She was brilliant in that.
Fantastic.
Complete drama, no comedy in that whatsoever. But
that
this,
was her breakout, really. That was where she started. That was her big breakout for me,
yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, 2008. Well, that's the earliest I remember.
Jason Statham's in it, right?
Yeah.
And if I could change anything, it would be about 90% his contributions to it.
Do you think?
I think it goes really over the top at times.
He's very funny.
I
know, but it kind of, sometimes it kind of goes just, I think it could have been there, but I think, and you can tell a lot of it's ad-libbed. You know the way they do that ad-lib stuff when they do about 1,000 cuts of it and then they...
If you go on YouTube, there's a lot of outtakes from the movie. Most of the outtakes are just Rose Byrne laughing. She cannot keep a straight face. But yeah, you're right. There's a lot of, spitballing, they just kind of run with ideas, and you'll see that. I have whilst I look, but yeah, I think it's all on YouTube.
Who I haven't mentioned here actually, and it's interesting, I was going to say she's kind of the forgotten, we'll say, hero of this show, is Miranda Hart. Like, she's very funny.
Another cutting room floor job for me, I'm afraid.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, I think, do you know,
some
what?
Of
I like when they bring, in particular, a sort of not exactly a Hollywoodized British star.
I know what you're on about.
Into a Hollywood movie. I think it always works really well. Mm-hmm. And I think her contribution, it's not like they changed her. They kind of kept her true to her actual personality, which I thought was lovely. And that kind of goofy, like, best friend kind of thing. But no, it is. It's funny. It's lighthearted. It's silly. It's an action film. It kind of has a bit of everything. And it is. You can sit there and your tea and your chocolate or whatever after January, if those of you have.
All right. So that's on Spy on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
A caller says, my kids love Blippi. I hate him trying to figure out how to block him from coming up on the Netflix list. If that's... No, I'm not trying to... I'm not trying to block Blippi coming up on the Netflix list. No, the bottom line is most of the time I'm sitting there as well, right?
Yeah.
So I'll sit watch Fireman Sam, even Cocomelon Lane, The Grinch, right? But I don't enjoy watching Blippi. I find it annoying.
Yeah,
right?
The music in the background is irritating.
Well, I'm not critiquing it like it's a stage play. No, I'm not trying to cancel Blippi, folks. Maybe I just didn't choose my words carefully enough. During a co-watching session, I'll go Fireman Sam or the Grinch over Flippy Blippi. That's all I'm saying. So I'm glad your children enjoy it.
But there is
big ideological problem with the part. I'm just saying it annoys me in the background.
I get it. And there is a freedom when your children start to enjoy like children's movies that are actual movies and not
necessarily cartoons.
And this, you know, I got my two into Clifford and the Big Red Dog. I even sat them down to watch the Beethoven movie, which is obviously 1990, I think it is, or something like that. But they love that. And, you know, so there is a freedom when they start to enjoy those sorts of things. So,
you get them on interested in 24, you've just made it then. You've just made it. Right. Anyone but you in the cinema. Michael gave that a big thumbs up. Reacher on Amazon, first series brilliant, and Michael's enjoying the second series as we go. Katie has started watching Fool Me Once on Netflix, about 5 episodes in. Big thumbs up for that. And Spy on Disney Plus, it's a comedy, which is really is quite entertainment.
Yes.
And again, I don't hate or want Jason Statham or cancelled. I'm just saying, I just think some parts of it are a little OTT, but I love him and wish him nothing but happiness and contentment
for the new year.
Happy New Year
to Jason Statham.
Back with more after this.
He's in our thoughts.
Right, okay. Kevin's back on. I hope TV3 is the behind the scenes as ITV showed last night on Toby Jones' Post Office versus the Government. Oh yeah, enjoyed the special, including the toy maker and best Doctor Who got the send-off he deserved. By the way, tell Michael that I saw an ad for Jennifer Garner film, sees her out avenging her family in Peppermint today on Film 4. So VCR it, okay. If you're in the 80s. Kevin, he's VCR? But you have a VCR, don't you?
Well, I
don't even have something that can play DVDs, would you believe? Except a PlayStation probably pays them. PlayStation 5, but
I have both. Yeah, DVD and a I can play videotapes if I need to. Yeah, if I do need to.
If you need to or want to, I don't think you ever need to play a videotape. I think you might want to, but need is a bit strong, isn't it?
Sometimes there's things you just don't have that I need them. I want to watch something.
You don't need it.
Well, sometimes you know it's 11
you
o'clock and you need
and
you
want
to watch
to.
It.
No,
you need to watch it.
Or if you want to record what's on the TV, and you just press
that I can't do.
And play and
that I can't.
You know,
do.
The best
that
thing I ever did was broke free of a certain satellite TV provider, and
yes.
There are many in the markets. Recording stuff had recorded it on the system that you could record it, but
yes.
If you cancel your subscription, you lose those recordings.
Mm.
And I stuck it out for about 6 months because there was a couple of things that I had recorded.
I had to
break free.
Yep, I was in a similar situation years ago. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very much so. Very much so.
Let's see. So we just did Spy on Disney Plus. Intelligence on Sky.
Yes, Intelligence.
Another satellite company.
Another satellite company, yes. Intelligence on Sky. This is one of my favourite comedy shows.
Is that not an oxymoron? Joke.
This is I'm Ignoring You. Another comedy. The first season of this dropped. I saw that. The first season of this came along 2020. The second season came along in 2021. David Schwimmer is best known, I suppose, for playing Ross in Friends. Although he had quite a dramatic comeback in more recent years playing the Kardashian father in one of those.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. Very good.
He was also in some... A war.
Sorry, I can't hear you, Katie. What are you saying?
Sorry, he was also in a war. Sorry, Janie Max.
Janie Max. It is not Janie.
Janie Max. No, he's a very good dramatic actor as well.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Intelligence is Nick Mohammed's show. Nick Mohammed is best known, I think, for playing Nate on Ted Lasso.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the show that he created, wrote, and stars in. And it's about. An inept group of people who work in cyber security in England. They're sort of an offshoot of MI5 sort of thing. And in the first episode of the first season, David Schwimmer comes over from the NSA and he has been sent to England. We're not told why in the first episode, but it's obvious very early on that he's a bit of a buffoon and that they just want well rid of him. And there's a bit of a scandal about a whole election thing. So basically the series is an office-based comedy series about these misfits who are thrust together. Most of the stories in the first couple of seasons are based around just office things. Occasionally in the second season it gets bigger as the Russians are after this cyber terrorism. They're using this virus to make a nuclear power plant blow up and stuff like that. But it's a very silly, but for me very funny comedy series. And what happened was they wrapped it up this year with a final double length episode.
Okay.
So season three is only a 1 hour special, and it wraps up all the storylines because season two ended with a big cliffhanger. So I actually rewatched season one and season two.
So was it effectively cancelled and just for the fans they wrapped it up?
I think it's sort of, yeah. I think there just wasn't enough interest to carry
on.
And
those actors also, it's not always possible to keep them all on the on the paycheck. So
yeah, exactly. I'm not sure exactly what happened behind the scenes. I know that from the end of season three, season two ended with a big cliffhanger.
Yeah.
And even then, Nick Mohammed had said in an interview, he'd like to bring it back to resolve the cliffhanger. So Sky brought it back this year for one special. So all 13 episodes are up there. You can stream them on Sky, and if you've got Sky and Netflix bundled together, you can get them that way. They're streaming. I think it's absolutely very silly, but I do love it. I just love that group of people. I think David Schwimmer is really excellent in this, as is Nick Mohammed, as are all of them. It's one of my favourite shows.
All right, it is on Sky. Hi all, I watched Rebel Moon Part 1. Just trying to rip off the original Star Wars, and it fails. I had to watch Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi to get Rebel Moon out of my system.
Okay.
I do that sometimes. You know, when you get an earworm and you just, you can't, like, na, 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 and it's constantly in your head.
In your head.
So you have to listen to other songs, other trash, to try and get that out of your head as well. So that's what they've done from a film perspective. Now, it's an oldie, but it's a goodie. Suits. There's a... I think there's a lot of people out there, and I often count myself amongst them, that feel like they've watched everything and they want to stumble on something that is 10 out of 10, or a lot of people would perceive it as such. For many people, Suits probably fits that bill, does it?
I think so, because, you know, it kind of gets better and better as the seasons go on, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Now, it's Meghan Markle is in it, as well as Gabriel Matt. He was in Bad Company with... Anthony Hopkins and Patrick Adams. So it's very, very good. It's about a young law student who basically never sat the bar, but blags his way into a role in a really big law firm as a lawyer. Right. So even though he's never passed the bar. So his mentor, Gabriel Macht, is this basically... covers it for him because he sees major talent in his in this young guy and brings him in. So that's how it starts, and it kind of goes from there. It's hilariously funny at parts, and it's also each episode focuses on a different case that they're involved in, along with this undercurrent of drama that goes on in the office as well, or in the law firm. So it is very, very good. Very funny. Lovely the way it's shot as well. It's easy to watch in that visually you kind of, things are like, people are pretty, and you know, offices are like fabulous looking, like, you know, God, imagine I worked in that like fabulous high rise building where everything's like, you have this lovely view of the world, and you know, down and have a lovely coffee, and you know, just a lovely visual.
Yes,
as well. And there's,
so kind of escapism, is it?
Escapism is right. There's a character in it called Lewis Litt, who is sort of this, he's another lawyer, but he's sort of a misfit in the office, and you know, he's, all he wants to do is be accepted, but you know, the things that he does and says are just so funny, like, you know, he kind of tries to be really young and he's not, and you know, this kind of thing. But it is very, very worthwhile watch. And like I say, it gets better as the seasons go on.
It's a good long run, isn't it? 7 or 8 seasons?
That's right, okay. Exactly.
I thought Suits was set in an advertisement agency, but it's not.
No.
Sorry, that must be confusing.
It's supposed to be coming back.
Is
new
it?
Episodes, yeah, because right. There's such an interest on Netflix. It's supposed to be coming back, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, now,
I don't think Meghan Markle's involved, but
no,
they will be bringing it back.
She kind of wasn't involved in the last 2 or 3 seasons.
She had other things.
Whenever she married Prince William or Prince Harry, she left it. But
this was part of a block of shows. I didn't see Suits, but the USA Network had these shows called the Blue Sky Shows.
Yeah.
And they had Burn Notice, White Collar.
Yeah.
They had Royal Pains. And I loved all three of those. Well, Suits came along and I just didn't get on board, but all those shows were very good.
Yeah, well, they reckon if you watched White Collar, or if you're looking for something to watch after Suits that you hadn't seen already, watch White Collar.
White Collar's great, yeah.
Oh, okay.
White Collar is also in talks to come back.
Yeah. What would you give it out of 10, Katie?
A 9 or even possibly a 10. Ooh, I loved it. Like, we binge-watched this every night until... And then I remember there being, like, we thought we were at the last season and we were like, oh, God, what are we going to do now? Like, really miss. I'm going to really miss them all.
That's what you want.
And then we found out it was another season and sure, we had it gone.
Right, quick mention, KT, because I came back after the new year and I'm kind of aware of it, but it's bingo-related, okay? The NCBI... have changed their branding, so the bingo sounds a little bit different.
Yes, it does.
But just to clarify that, because it came in the new year, and I'm aware of the change, right?
Yes.
But just to make it more publicly aware, what people are supporting in playing the bingo, if you don't mind.
No, not at all. The NCBI, it's still the same. It's still the same company that you're supporting, but they're now called Vision Ireland. The reason for their change in branding is because they didn't want people to think NCBI stands for National Council for the Blind Ireland, but they didn't want people to think that their services only applied to people who are blind, but if you were visually impaired in any way, that they had services for you. So that's the reason for the rebranding. Mm. The books look exactly the same, except you'll notice now that Vision Ireland. And
but in playing, you're supporting all the work, which there's a lot of it in Donegal and across the country. You're supporting all the work that the National Council of the Blind of Ireland did, but I suppose for more inclusive branding, the charity's changed its name to Vision Ireland.
That's exactly it. That's it all.
Just in case people weren't aware.
Yep, no problem.
Everything is the same, but the name has changed. Right, okay. Katie, thanks very much. It's been lovely having you on.
Do you
watch any
of
you watch the soaps, no?
I don't.
Do you know?
No, I used to watch EastEnders Christmas special every Christmas
day. Get out of my studio.
And I remember, like, I think I mentioned it one of the other times I was in, but it went to, when I was down home, I think it was last year or the year before, and Mum was watching it on Christmas Day, and I'm like, oh my God.
Why would you do yourself?
Why are we making ourselves so upset?
Misery and
all right. Yeah. Listen, Katie, thanks very much for calling in. It's
no
been
problem.
Great as always. Katie McGee there. And also Michael Leddy, writer and blogger.
Great fun.
Friday. We'll be back next Friday with another session of That's Entertainment. Thanks, Michael. Thanks, Katie. We're back with you on Monday morning at 9. Have a wonderful weekend if you can, please. Stay tuned. John Bresson's coming up around the Northwest next.